Well, good morning, everybody, and we are continuing this morning with the parables of Jesus Christ. And this morning, we've had read for us this morning that very well-known parable from Matthew. But let us look at this together this morning as we look on the subject of forgiveness. The meaning of the parable, I think, is clear. The main message is so obvious. We are to forgive. So we will look this morning at the background of the parable, why we should forgive, what happens if we do not forgive, and what happens when we do. If I was to ask you this morning what sin causes most problems in the church, what causes most problems in the life of a believer, what could cause a believer to stumble, what could cause a believer to have problems in their spiritual growth, in their prayer life, I wonder if you would come up with the attitude of unforgiveness. A famous evangelist, Mr. Moody, said this: "There is one sin, one failure that's holding back the power of God in revival in the life and hearts of Christians more than any other sin." Do you know what he said it was? He said it was the sin of an unforgiving spirit. You see, so often, even as believers, we hold on to bitterness. We hold on to, I just can't forgive. Oh, you don't know what happened. You don't know the hurt, the pain, the unfairness. Oh, how even believers say they need justice. They need even revenge. I want others, they would say to themselves, they need to know what I have experienced. We look at the entertainment world. And you look at films and they're not really out to show forgiveness. They're out to show revenge. And I just quickly Googled and straight away you have 50 greatest revenge films. They are popular. And therefore people could get into their thinking that it's okay to want justice. It's okay to want revenge. It's okay to be bitter. It's okay because it happens to everybody. Everybody gets hurt. Everybody gets gossiped about. Everybody gets a friend who has wronged them. And it's okay that you want everybody else to know. And it's okay. But is it okay? Is this what this parable teaches this morning? We are going to look at this parable. And first of all, we need to set the background to why Jesus told this parable. Matthew 18:15. Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. And if he listens, you have won the brother over." Jesus is teaching there that we, as believers and followers of Jesus, if someone has wronged us, we go to him and forgive him. Well, I think Peter was thinking about that. I think Peter was dwelling on what Jesus had just said. And maybe Peter had someone who had wronged him. And maybe Peter had forgiven that person time and time and time again. And Peter was thinking, well, maybe there must be a time when I stop forgiving. Maybe there is a time when it comes to an end. I can't simply just go on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. I mean, that's nonsense. That's not what it's about. The person needs to learn the lesson. They can't keep wronging me. They can't just keep on doing the same thing to me over and over again. So maybe that's why Peter asked Jesus a question. "Lord, how many times, if a man sins against you, should we forgive him? Once? Two times? Three? Four or five?" "Oh, I know what it must be. Seven. Seven, that's the perfect number. That's it. We should forgive him seven times, shouldn't we, Lord?" Jesus said, "No, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Have you quickly worked out what that is? Have you times 70 times seven? That's 490. Is Jesus asking us to tot up Is Jesus asking us to keep a record? Is Jesus asking us to say that I'll forgive you 490 times, but as soon as you do the 491, that's it, finished, it's over? That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying it's a matter of your heart, not your head. Every time someone comes to repentance and says, I repent, you are to forgive him. Not how many times you've already forgiven him. You see, God has forgiven you. And when you go and you repent and you ask for forgiveness, even if it's the same sin, to God it's like it's the first time you've committed that sin. And so it is with us. We must realize that when God forgives, he forgives. He does not hold this against us anymore. It is as if it never happened. So every time you forgive someone, don't be totaling up if that's the 10th time, that's the 12th time, that's the 13th time, that's the 20th time. If you've truly forgiven someone from the heart, you haven't recorded it. You haven't mentally made a number of it. It's like they've never wronged you before. He always forgives us, doesn't he? Doesn't God always cleanse us and restore us? And God wants the same for his people. And he wants us to forgive and forgive and forgive. You know, people have these machines now, don't they, where they can... I've forgotten what they're called now. Well, they put them into the machine and they just rip them all up. But sometimes they make a copy first. We're like that. We say we'll put it into the shredder, but we make a copy in our hearts first. If we truly forgive, we put it in the shredder. We make no copy. We don't keep records. You know, back to this parable, that man, you know, he owed millions of pounds. In all language today, in all money, he owed his master millions. And that person owed him a few hundred pounds. And the master forgave him that millions and millions of pounds of debt. But he could not forgive that person who owed him a few hundred. Do you see the comparison? Do you see what Jesus is saying in this parable? When that man said, you pay me what you owe me, and had him by the throat, and he threw him into prison, Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Wow. God forgives you. God forgiven you your £1 million debt. God has forgiven you everything you've ever done, all your rebellion, every time you've grieved him, every time you've disobeyed him, he has forgiven you. And then someone does something which, in comparison to what you've done towards God, is minuscule. But you can't forgive them. You don't forgive them. You go and tell everybody else how they've mistreated you. And Jesus said, that's how your Father treats you. Just as you treat one another. You see, I've put it in a nutshell. Forgiven people forgive. Why forgive? Why should we forgive? Because like the person in the parable, we have a debt we cannot pay. We owe God. God who revealed himself in creation. God who sent Jesus to die and to pay a debt that he did not owe, to pay the price for us. And you see, and when we come to him in repentance and we believe, he forgives us. He forgives. And what Jesus is saying in this little parable, see that you have this £1 million debt. that you could not pay. You had the no means of paying it. Your good works are just like filthy rags in the sight of a holy and righteous God. There is nothing you can do or offer to pay this debt back. So Jesus came and gave his life so that that debt you pay is paid. And he simply says in this parable, simply says, when someone wrongs you, owes you, in a sense, a few quid, forgive them because you're forgiven. Forgive them because you're cleansed. Forgive them because I've cleaned you up. Forgive them because you now have no condemnation. Forgive them. But if you don't forgive them, how can Father God forgive you? How can he forgive you? You see, when the king forgave that servant those millions, it cost the king. He'd lost his millions. And therefore, in a sense, what Jesus is telling us is that God doesn't overlook the fact that you've sinned. God doesn't overlook the fact that we rebelled against him. The king did not simply overlook the debt. He said, I forgave you. But it cost him those millions of pounds. And therefore, Jesus is just telling us again and again, God paid for your sin. And therefore, he forgives. You see, I owed a debt I could not pay. And Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And Jesus paid the debt he did not owe. You see, God could have just said, I forgive people. But you see, and I haven't got time to go into it, there's a legal framework. And where there's a debt, a price has to be paid. And Christ paid the price for us. You see, it says of Jesus in Hebrews, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I want to say this morning that God says you're a price worth paying for. Oh, you owe me so much. You have a debt you cannot pay. But you're worth the life of my perfect son, Jesus Christ. He says, you're worth it. I'm willing to pay the price. You see, why forgive? Because God has paid a debt we could never pay. We could never work it off. And compared to the debt that God has forgiven, whatever people, and therefore we should forgive. Because whatever they have done, however they have treated us, is so small in comparison. We've been adopted into his family. And forgiveness does not come naturally to people. It's not in our human nature to want forgiveness. Even as believers, sometimes we still want justice and revenge. And it doesn't come easy. But Jesus, I believe, says we have to. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to forgive. I want us to see this morning, why forgive? Because we have been forgiven. See, in the parable, it was millions compared to hundreds. We need to be a people who have an attitude of forgiveness. Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. Paul says to the churches, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We need an attitude of forgiveness because we have been forgiven. Forgiven people forgive. So what happens if we don't forgive? We don't have a natural inclination to forgive. God has paid the debt for us. I'm forgiven, right? God will forgive me if I don't forgive, right? Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, this is Matthew 6:14, your heavenly Father will forgive you. See the connection? An unforgiving spirit is unforgivable. The man, the woman who will not forgive does have no right to claim forgiveness. How can we take communion this morning? How can we say we love one another? How can we claim to be forgiven? Look at the parable. Look at what Jesus says. This is how my Father will treat you if you do not forgive. Jesus, you know, when the king found out what that man had done, he says, take him, cast him into the prison and deliver him to the tormentors till he's paid for it all. See, when we refuse to forgive, when we don't have an attitude of forgiveness, Jesus says that's what happens to us. We end up in a prison. We end up being tormented. When we don't forgive, it takes a hold of our lives. It robs us of peace. It robs us of joy. It robs us of all fellowship and walk with God. We, in a sense, become in a prison in our thoughts and in our lives because we've refused to forgive. And I want to say this morning that sometimes if we let that bitterness take a hold, if we let that take a grip on our lives, if we, you know, become obsessed with what someone has said or done to us, it can make us ill. It can make us sick. No wonder Jesus and Paul and the counsel of God is forgiven people, forgive. I just want to say this morning, this is an important thing for us to grasp. Not to hold on to bitterness. Not to want revenge. Not to want justice. But just to want and long for forgiveness and reconciliation. To have fellowship with one another. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you... You have won your brother over. That's why we forgive. That's the result of forgiving. God forgives us. We forgive people so that we're not out of fellowship with people. You see, when we don't forgive, it robs us of friendship. It robs us of that fellowship. And that's why Jesus says, you know, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Because God loves to forgive. God wants to forgive. God's done everything to enable forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross so that people can be forgiven, so that we can forgive one another. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's what we should do. Instead of sitting, dwelling on it, instead of maybe phoning or emailing or texting people saying, do you know what so-and-so has said? Do you know what so-and-so has done? Go and see that person, just the two of you, in the attitude of love, in the attitude of forgiveness, in the attitude of reconciliation. When we forgive, we gain a brother. We gain a sister. Reconciliation happened. You've won your brother over. You know, as I've been looking at this week, and I thought to myself, you know, you can do that. You can go to a person with the right attitude, wanting reconciliation and love. But what happens if they just tell you to go away? What happens if there's no remorse? What happens if they're not sorry? What happens if they say you deserved it? What happens if they've got no desire to be reconciled, to make amends? I've never noticed this verse before, because I've always thought you must always forgive. Even if they don't want to forgive you back or they don't want to make amends, you still have to say and believe, well, I'm going to forgive you anyway. And then I realized what Jesus said. Jesus said this in Luke 17. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Did you see what is needed for us to forgive? The same as what God looks for, to forgive. Repentance. Jesus is not actually teaching us that we should just say, I forgive you, when the person on the other side is not receiving it, when the person on the other side doesn't want to know, when the person on the side has got no interest or even wants to be reconciled. Jesus says, unless they repent, you don't have to forgive them. That doesn't mean you can be bitter and want revenge. You must love them. You must pray for them. You must always be seeking to forgive, always seeking to be reconciled, because that's the heart of God. God is always seeking. God is always longing for reconciliation and forgiveness. And we too must be doing that. Isn't that kind of realistic? Jesus is not saying, oh, just say forgive. Just say, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, you didn't really hurt. Oh, it's okay. It's not okay. Because hurt's real. What people say hurts, and it's real. Damage is done. And for true forgiveness, true reconciliation takes repentance. And did you notice what Jesus said there? Even if they do the same thing 5 or 6 times in one day, you still forgive them. As long as there's repentance, forgive them. Just as if it was the first time. Because it says in Luke 13, I tell you, unless there is repentance, you too will all perish. Oh, we haven't got time this morning to go into these details. But it's an attitude of forgiveness, an attitude of love, an attitude of reconciliation. Because God has forgiven us such an enormous debt. We must have an attitude. You see, it says of God in Hebrews, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. You see, when you forgive someone, you don't get amnesia. You don't think it never happened. You don't pretend it never happened. Of course it happened. Of course the hurt happened. Of course the gossip happened. Of course the things that were said happened. But you don't count it against them. You don't make a memory of it. You don't make, I'll get you back at some time. I'll bring it up again. No, no, no. You've put it in the shredder machine. It's been shredded. It no longer exists because you've forgiven them. You've forgiven them. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Because we're in his kingdom. And Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. And you see, because we belong to the kingdom, we can do something that those in darkness cannot do. We can freely forgive people. We can truly forgive people the most horrendous things that they could say and do against us, because God has forgiven us. We can forgive people because we're in his kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What will rob you of the characteristics of the kingdom? What will hinder you being the witness that you should be is having an unforgiving spirit. Say, I'm not forgiving them. God's forgiven you. How can you not forgive? Forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people not only forgive, but they seek to forgive those that have hurt them. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, just as in Christ, God forgive you. Do you remember Corrie ten Boom and that German officer that she met, and he held his hand out And she knew that she couldn't forgive him. But she asked God to enable her. She asked God to help her. And then she held her hand out. You see, God knows the difficulty to forgive. God knows how hard it is to truly forgive someone. But he says, my Holy Spirit, the love of God flows through you by the Holy Spirit. And if you've got someone that you find it so difficult to forgive, if you've been for years harboring this unforgiveness, then God by his Spirit will help you, enable you to go to that person and forgive them. Forgive them. You know that, in a sense, the world and God sees everything. What destroys all witness? What destroys the power of our lives being a witness is when they hear and see that we don't forgive. When they hear and see that what we want is justice and revenge and we have hatred towards people. You see, how did Jesus say people would see his followers? Because they will see how we love one another. And love forgives. Love does not hate. God has so willingly forgiven us. That's what the parable is all about. We're the ones that had his millions of pound debt paid. And God, in the riches of his mercy, forgave us. Now, if God has forgiven us, then we ought to forgive, shouldn't we? As long as we have unforgiven spirit in our hearts, then we cannot get the forgiveness of God. Oh, how dangerous it is if we fail to forgive one another. People become ill. Prayers are hindered. People are tormented when there's a refusal to forgive. You know, Derek Prince tells a story of a lady who for months and years went for prayer for healing and she never got her healing. She had an arm that had arthritis and it was all sort of misshapen. And one night she went forward to pray. And in that prayer, she forgave someone who had hurt her. You know what happened? As she forgave from her heart that person, her arm was straightened, her arm was healed, because she forgave. Forgiveness is so important. It's very hard because we're human, but if someone has truly hurt us, and I mean truly hurt us, and in our human nature, we don't want to let them off the hook. But what we need to understand from this parable, it is us in our unforgiving spirit that are on the hook. And when we forgive, we set the prisoner free, and the prisoner is us. God has forgiven us. Let's forgive one another, because forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people seek forgiveness. So we forgive. Because God has forgiven us. We forgive to have reconciliation and fellowship because we are in his kingdom. His love flows through us. This is how the world will know that we are followers of Jesus, because we love, we forgive, and we don't hate. Forgiven people forgive and seek to forgive those who have hurt them. Amen.